It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
This is the teaching on Introduction to Prayer, Part 6, Point Number 6, How to Pray. There are many individuals who ask the question, how do I pray? What words do I pray? Will God hear my words? We learned earlier that there are model prayers in Scripture that give examples on how to pray certain prayers that God answered. Here in point number 6, answering the question how to pray also takes in consideration who is praying. There are differences on how sinners pray than backsliders and those that are saved. Sinners, individuals that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation, and backsliders, individuals that have strayed away from His loving kindness and gone back into a lifestyle that is contrary to God, contrary to the Scriptures, and outside of God's will. And there's a difference between those that are children in the Lord through Jesus Christ, the saved. Point 6A. How should sinners pray, or individuals that do not know salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? It is true that all individuals can cry out to God and pray for themselves, for their families, for others. However, the emphasis and priority of prayer for sinners should be the expectation of salvation. The emphasis and priority for prayer should be reconciliation. It should be rebuilding that bridge between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals that are sinners, that are outside the will of God, need to be reconciled with the Lord, because tomorrow is not promised to them. Scripture teaches in Ephesians chapter 2 that those that are sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 6 through 7 teach, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We see here that the Scriptures are clear that the emphasis in prayer for those that are sinners, for those that do not know salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the emphasis is on repentance. The emphasis is on the prayer of reconciliation. The emphasis is on getting right with the Lord, because tomorrow is not promised to us, and they could die in their sins. The prayer of salvation in Scripture is found in Romans chapter 10. Individuals who are led to the Lord are often taken on what's called the Romans road of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13 states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here we see that individuals who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they can pray, for God hears all prayers, although he reserves the sovereign right to answer prayers according to his sovereign will. Individuals, though, who do not know salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, are taken down the Romans road to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is their emphasis, and that should be the attitude when they pray. Point 6b. Backsliders should also pray according to a certain attitude. Individuals that are backsliders. This means simply that individuals that have strayed away from the loving kindness and the will of God and have fallen back into a lifestyle that is contrary to God, contrary to Scripture. For example, individuals that have been saved and washed and cleansed have made a decision to go back and cohabitate with a boyfriend or girlfriend and have sex outside of marriage consistently. These individuals have gone back into a lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. They are backslidden. They may deny that they are backslidden. They may deny that they feel like they are backslidden. For scriptures teach that sin can deceive us and blind the eyes of them that walk in that kind of deception. Scripture teaches in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 the prayer instruction for those that have strayed away from the Lord. It reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land," which means restoration. Individuals that are backslidden should be encouraged to pray the prayer of repentance and to repent. We are taught in the scriptures that until individuals reconcile themselves with God, then their prayers are not answered. Psalm 66 and verse 18 teaches, "If I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me." These scriptures are crystal clear that the emphasis and the priority of prayer for those who have backslidden and for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the emphasis is on repentance. The emphasis is on reconciliation. The emphasis is on salvation. All other prayers are noble and laudable, but the emphasis is on individuals saving their soul through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, facilitated by the prayer of repentance, the prayer of salvation. Point number 6C. For individuals that are saved, individuals that are in the will of God, individuals that are walking in the Spirit, in the joy and fellowship of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit, can take comfort knowing that their prayers extend unto God. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12 states, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Psalm 141 verse 2 states, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 teaches that the 24 elders, which is symbolic for the church that's been raptured, have golden vials full of sweet odors that go up as prayers unto the Lord. Our prayers extend up to God, and God hears our prayers. This should give us confidence. This should give us assurance. This should give us joy, knowing that God not only hears our prayers, but He receives our prayers as a sweet savior to His nostrils. This particular point also teaches that we should have a lifestyle of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 11 teaches that Nehemiah prayed for mercy. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 4 teaches that Nehemiah prayed to God before he had to go before the king. Nehemiah chapter 6 verses 5 through 9 teaches that Nehemiah prayed to God for strength when the enemies of God came to stop him from building the wall. Nehemiah chapter 13 verses 29 through 31 teaches that Nehemiah prayed to God and had to admonish the priests that strayed from the Lord and married unbelieving individuals of that land. Throughout the book of Nehemiah, there are examples of how Nehemiah cried out to God and prayed throughout the entire book. Nehemiah was a man who had a lifestyle of prayer. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10 teaches that Daniel fell upon his knees three times a day, prayed and gave thanks unto the Lord. David in Psalm 55 verses 16 and 17 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." David further states in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." We are charged throughout the scriptures to have a lifestyle of prayer. This means to make time for prayer. This means to incorporate prayer as an attitude throughout the day. Not only praying, but having the Lord on our mind and constantly and continually through a relationship, communing with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord, seeking the Lord in our heart and in our spirit, having a relationship with the Lord Almighty. This can happen in the office place, as we close our eyes, or as we look up into the heavens, or as we seek the Lord in our heart, without fanfare and without distraction, and without making individuals know that we're praying. We can have a personal prayer life that does not draw attention to ourselves, but yet allows us in our spirit to commune with the Lord throughout the day. Point 6D. There are disciplined postures that we should have when we pray. We should have a disciplined posture of thankfulness and prayer and praise. Scripture teaches in Psalm 100 verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." As we enter into prayer, we are thankful unto him and we are glorifying him and magnifying him. We are thanking him for his grace and his mercy, his loving kindness, and being the God of a second chance. This is done before we offer up our prayer requests. For we enter in with thanksgiving and we enter in with praise. So before individuals ask the Lord of their prayer petitions, we reach out with our heart and begin to praise Him, thank Him, lift Him up, magnify Him, and glorify Him, for He is an awesome God. And if the Lord would never answer any other prayer in our life, He is worthy of the praise and worthy of the thanksgiving just for who He is. We also, as a disciplined posture, take time for prayer. Mark chapter 6, verse 46 teaches that Jesus went away from His disciples into the mountain to pray. Jesus Christ gave an example for us to prioritize a time where we move away from distractions, activities, and anything that would detract us from spending time with the Lord and find a quiet place to pray. This means that if the children have to take a nap and we pray, that's how we find the prayer time for a busy mother or father. Or in the morning, we wake up a few minutes early to pray. Or in the evening, we go to bed a few minutes early to have time to pray. During our lunch hour or throughout the day, if there are breaks in the action, we can take time to pray. The Lord wants us to be that intimate, for He has something to share with us, something to tell us that we can only receive when there's no other distractions around us, when we can be in that quiet moment to hear from on high and to have our spirit touched by the Lord Almighty. Romans chapter 12 teaches to be instant in prayer. This teaches us to take time to pray, to be ready at any time to pray, to find time to pray. This is one of our disciplined postures that we are so excited about spending time with the Lord that we find time to pray. When you love someone with all of your heart, you'll want to spend time with them and you'll make time for them. Same thing with the Lord. As we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we begin to make time for the Lord in prayer, to find time for the Lord in prayer, to rearrange our schedule for the Lord in prayer. Another disciplined posture is to always recognize a need for prayer. We are charged in the scriptures to recognize that we need to pray, that our strength comes from on high. We are warned in the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, pray to Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Here the scripture is teaching not to lean on our own understanding, but whatever the endeavor, we take it to the Lord in prayer. We bathe all of our situations and decisions and circumstances in prayer, seeking the Lord for guidance and wisdom. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 warns us that our way is not the right way. Scripture teaches there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may sound right. It may feel right. Everybody else is doing it. However, if it is not of the Lord through the scriptures, then the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seemeth right unto us, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must recognize that there always is a need for prayer. Another disciplined posture is listening when praying. Psalm 73 and verse number 17 teaches that David in the earlier verses was concerned about the wicked rich that seemed to have no troubles in their life. Then when he went into the sanctuary and listened to the Lord from on high, he understood in the later verses that the wicked rich will soon come to naught. This is a disciplined posture that many cannot do because they're always talking. They're always having something to say, and they listen with great trouble. They cannot keep their mouth closed long enough to listen to the Lord or to listen to others. Listening when praying is a disciplined posture that will give us direction. Listening when praying will allow the Lord to impart His peace upon us and joy and comfort. He is there in the midst of us, and He has something to say in our heart through the Holy Spirit, and we should have a disciplined posture to where we are not always talking in prayer, but we are listening. There's an old saying to where God gave us two ears and one mouth, and we should listen twice as much as we speak. Another disciplined posture is helplessness in prayer. Scripture teaches in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Here in Psalm 51, when David was praying the prayer of repentance, he was broken. He was humble. He felt helpless without the Lord. And as a result, he came asking for nothing but restoration, cleansing, washing, forgiveness. Helplessness in prayer will help us depend upon the Lord. It does not matter what our education background, our socioeconomic background, our culture, our creed, our position in society. If individuals want their relationship in the Lord to reach its full potential and their prayer life to be abundant and fruitful, then they should have helplessness in prayer as part of their disciplined posture. Helplessness in prayer will once again help us to feel dependent upon the Lord. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, without the Lord, without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our very being. Point 6E, there should be an expectation in prayer. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 states, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall have them. This is not from a claim it and name it perspective, for the claim it and name it movement is not a scriptural teaching. This, rather, is teaching that we should have an expectation from the Lord, knowing that we are praying God's will by praying according to His Word. We are agreeing with God according to agreeing with His Word. We are agreeing with His will by agreeing with His Word. And God is answering prayer according to His will, according to His Word. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 states, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or prayer requests that we desired of Him." 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 states, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." We can have confidence, we can have an expectation, knowing that our prayers are going to be answered because we are living for the Lord, we love the Lord, we have a relationship with the Lord, and as a result, our Heavenly Father is leading us, guiding us, and answering our prayers according to His loving kindness towards us. Our relationship between our Heavenly Father and His children guarantee that God will answer prayer according to Scripture. These three individuals, sinners, backsliders, and the saved, have different attitudes that they bring to the prayer table and different ways to pray. This is the teaching on Introduction to Prayer, Part 6. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Pray this prayer with me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.